If you want to turn with us tonight to Psalm 27, verse 4, that's what we're going to read tonight, just one simple verse as we come to focus on worship, as we focus on prayer and build in a rhythm of life around these two things that are one of the wonderful privileges that God gives to us as His children as we come close to Him. So Psalm 27, verse 4, the words are going to be on the screen as well for you to follow along to. This is the word of the Lord. One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek Him in His temple. Let's read them again. One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek Him in His temple. I wonder tonight, as you sit here, as you gather in this place, as you've come from whatever has been going on in your week or whatever you're looking forward to this week, maybe you're off for half term, maybe you've got a couple of days just to be yourself, to unwind, to relax, maybe you're beginning to dream of that time that will come later on in the year, maybe you're beginning to be overcome with thoughts of work now in the week that you will have, the fears, the anxieties, the stresses are there. They're welling up in your mind. They're welling up in your heart. But tonight, let's park those for a little second, and I want to know, what is your biggest desire? As you sit here tonight, what is the one thing that overcomes your heart? What is the one thing that overcomes your head? What is the one thing that you just can't get out of your imagination? Is it that holiday next summer? I know I'm desiring a holiday next summer and I'm looking forward to it. Is it time off school? Is it the stresses and the pressures of exams or work or that deadline that needs to be met to be shifted away? Is it for more time, maybe with your family, or more quality time with friends? Is it a new house, a bigger car, a faster car, a new iPhone? What is your biggest desire? You see, the thing is, we all have desires. We all have those things that our heart longs for. We all have those things that we see around us and we look to and we think, wouldn't life be so much better if I had that? Or wouldn't that be wonderful if I could look forward to that and could count down the days to that moment when I jump on a plane and go to the sun? And maybe if you're like me, you don't have one big desire. You have lots of little desires that sort of take up your thoughts. They take up your time. They take up even what you work for sometimes. But what if tonight we could narrow our biggest desires down to the one thing, to one biggest desire, to one desire that exceeds all earthly things, to one desire that exceeds anything that we could ever crave or anything that we could ever have for ourselves, the one thing that exceeds all the material goods, all the money, all the fast cars, all the houses, all the holidays, all the friendships, all the relationships? What if we could crave one thing and make that the pursuit of our life, make that the one thing that we live for, the one thing that we are known for, the one thing that when people look at us, they see that we are set apart, they see that we are different, they see that the light and the life and the love of Christ is in us, dwelling deeply and shining out, that we are people who speak hope, people who speak life, people who carry grace, people who accept, and people who draw others into the kingdom. In Psalm 27, verse 4, we read of this desire that David has. It's a psalm that speaks confidence to us. If we read the whole thing, we would see that. We would see that the Lord is our light. He is our salvation. He is the one that we can hope in. He is the one that will restore us. He is the one who will presence Himself around us when it feels like our enemies or those things that overwhelm us come up on our side. We find that God is an anchor. God is a hope. He is a rock. He is a refuge. And when we come and when we gather before Him, we see and we know and we dwell in the beauty of His presence, and we find ourselves and we find hope and we find our Father who knows us, our Father who loves us, our Father who is longing for us. What if tonight we left here making Him the one thing, the one pursuit, the one desire, the one goal of our lives? Not just tonight, not just this week, but each and every day until we can go and we can dwell with him and gaze upon him in the beauty of that heavenly temple. And so tonight I want to focus just on four words that come up in this psalm very briefly. David speaks of how there's this one thing that he desires, this one thing that he will seek. He says right at the beginning, this one thing I desire and this one thing, this only thing I seek after. You see, David on earth knew what it would be to have so many things. He knew what it was to have power. He knew what it was to have authority. He knew what it was to have people look at him as he passed them by. He knew what it was to have victory, but he also knew what it was to be in the depths of despair. He knew what it was to, in times to be really close to God, to hear from him, to be known as a man after God's own heart, but he also knew what it was to sin grievously against fellow humans and against his Father. And yet he says in this psalm, this only do I seek. He's living this life where he will pursue, where he will fix his eyes upon his Father and he will run after him. He will look to him and he will seek to be near to him. He says that his Father is the one thing that he will seek, the one thing that he will long for. And it's the only thing. He could have anything else. With the person that he was, with the power that was his, with the kingdom that was his, he could have had anything or anyone. And yet he says, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord. I will pursue my Father. I will seek after him. I will fix my eyes upon him. I will look for him in the day and the daily. I will celebrate him in the good times. I will sing praise when things are going well. And when things are difficult, when things are dark, I will seek him still. I will pray with honesty. I will pray with my heart on my sleeve, Father, help. Father, where are you? Father, place your protection around me. Father, come close, draw near. Father, push those things away from me. Stop those things from coming near to me. I want you and I want to know you. And I seek you because I long to dwell. I long to dwell in the house of the Lord. And he's not talking about this physical temple that he couldn't even have gone to himself because the temple wasn't there in his days. What he's talking about is this presence being practiced always, that he would dwell, that he would be at one with his Father, that as he walked down the street, he would seek God. He would say, thank you, Father, that you love me, and repeat that over and over and over again. Thank you, Father, that you love me. Thank you, Father, that you're for me. Thank you, Father, that you hear me. Thank you, Father, that you are close to me. Thank you, Father, that these enemies cannot overcome me, even if it feels like it sometimes. And he would allow himself to listen to what the Father would say and be open to what the Father would do. He was practicing a daily presence. He was coming close. He was saying, he was longing that God would be his desire, that the Father would be the one he would seek, and that he would come as a child, he would come as a son, and sit at his Father's feet and look at him and be lost in wonder, as we've sung, be filled with awe as he gazes upon the beauty of the Lord, as he gazes and as he sees his Father for who he is, as he sees his Father for being holy, for being just, for being close, for being merciful, for being one who hears his cries, for being one who would answer and who would move and who would work in his life. As he would come close and gaze upon the love that the Father had for him individually, but the love that he would lavish upon his people. And maybe tonight we feel as we come here, it's really easy It's going to be really easy for me to stand up at the front and say it's so easy, and I encourage you to go and seek after God and go and dwell in his presence. It's hard. It's hard sometimes to make God the one thing. It's hard to say that our hearts will make him our biggest desire, that we will long for him, that we will seek after him with all that we have, with every energy, with every step, with every cry of worship. He will be on our lips. That doesn't always happen. I would love to be able to walk down the street and dwell in the presence of the Lord every day. I would love to be able to just constantly be whispering or singing or shouting hymns of praise, shouts of thanksgiving, or even just to be turning over, Jesus loves me and I love you, Jesus, in my lips and in my mouth every day, but it doesn't happen. I get distracted, I get waylaid, I don't dwell in the presence of the Lord all the days of my life. But maybe it's easy for us to come here tonight and to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord. And maybe that should be our starting point. If we want to dwell deeply and if we want to seek and we want to pursue, how about we just gaze as David did? How about we come close and we gaze and we look to our Father and we look at the one who has made us and we look at the one who knows us intimately, whose image is deep within us, who knows the words that are on our lips before we even speak them, who knows the thoughts that are in our heart and in our head before we even think them, who knows the things that we're celebrating, but also the things that we're struggling with, who knows the joys, but also knows the stuff that is going on that overwhelms us and weighs heavy upon us, and still we come and we gaze, and we look at him, and we realize that he is a big God. And then we thank him for his majesty. We thank him that he is the Lord of the universe. That for the horizon that we can see, that he stretches beyond that. For every star that we see in the sky, that he has put them there, he has called them by name. And we worship his grandeur, we worship his majesty. And yet we come into this place and we worship him, and his spirit is here and he is moving amongst us. And so we gaze upon the beauty of the Lord who is near. The beauty of the Lord who is speaking to us as we read his word and as we hear his word. Filling us with hope, filling us with life, encouraging us. And then we go and we gaze some more at what God has done, at what he has sacrificed, at what he has given for us. We gaze upon the beauty of a Lord who would give up heaven to come to this earth. We gaze upon the beauty of the Lord who would become like one of us. But more than that, he would become obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. We gaze upon the one who has given everything for us. And as we gaze upon that cross, we see love and we see terror, we see grace, and we see justice, and we see mercy, and we see also how there's such an injustice there. There's something there that demands a response. And we gaze upon the beauty of the Lord resurrected and ascended and sitting at the right hand of the Father. Even death couldn't defeat him. The grave couldn't hold him. This God who has been able to make us his children in order to write grace upon our hearts, in order to write forgiven upon all our sins and all our misdeeds, in order that we would know him, in order that we could dwell with him, in order that we could pursue after him, that we could fix our eyes upon him. Are you thankful that tonight we can come and we can gaze upon the beauty of the Lord? But we can do that not just in this place, we can do that everywhere. We can worship, we can pray in our car, in our commute. We can worship and pray from our desk in our classroom. We can worship and pray from behind the computer screen. We can gaze upon the beauty of the Lord wherever we go, because he is present everywhere. He is this big, grand God who is full of beauty, full of mercy, full of grace, and yet he is also this near, this intimate Father who calls us to dwell. He calls us simply just to come and sit. We don't have to do much else. We can just allow ourselves to be lost. Some of my most favorite times going home, every day whenever I go home, is just sitting on the sofa, and Ruby crawls up into my lap, or she just plops herself right across here, and she doesn't say too much. She just sort of puts her head in, and she nuzzles in, and she gives a hug, and she just lies there for a minute or two, and we tickle her, and there's laughter, and then she nuzzles in some more, and then she headbutts me, and we laugh a little bit about that, and then we cry because it's hurt her and it's hurt me. But we're present in that moment, and she is with her father, and she's not doing anything but coming close. And she's delighting in that moment, and she feels encouraged, she feels affirmed, she feels loved, she feels comforted, she feels, I hope, hope, and care and protection and all manner of things that come simply with just coming close and gazing and dwelling and seeking that time with her Father. And so tonight, as we come and as we seek, as we pursue, as we look at this God who Paul wrote to the church in Philippians and said, nothing is as wonderful as knowing Jesus Christ as Lord. Do we have that same desire within our hearts? Is that the same calling in our mind that we want to say, nothing is as wonderful? The holidays aren't as wonderful. The fast car, the fancy house, the good degree, the great job, all the money in the bank, nothing is as wonderful as knowing Jesus Christ as Lord. Nothing is as wonderful as being able to seek and pursue after Him. Nothing is as wonderful as being able to fix our eyes on Jesus. Nothing is as wonderful as being able to dwell in His presence. Nothing is as wonderful as being able to say, I'm in love with Jesus and Jesus is in love with me every day as we walk the streets or as we drive. That nothing is as wonderful as simply just sitting in a chair at home and thinking about how wonderful, how beautiful, how good, how gracious, how loving our Father is. And so he demands a response in that. David finishes with this word, seek, again, but it's a different kind of seeking. Before, where that verb meant to pursue, this one actually now means to grow, to inquire, to look at what God is doing as we have pursued Him, as we have dwelt with Him, as we have gazed, as we have met with Him. So the question must be, what now? What will I do? What will I change? Or rather, what will I allow the Spirit to change within me that I can become more like Christ? What steps will I take? Who will I go to? How will I carry this gospel? How will I be salt and light this week as I go? How will I go and practice this presence? How will I go even tonight from this place and gaze upon the Lord and dwell with Him or pursue Him a little differently? David is saying that we have to respond. He longs to respond. He doesn't just want to stay in that temple, in that place of presence. He doesn't just want to stay in an endless cycle of pursuing or an endless cycle simply of dwelling or of gazing, but he knows that he must also go and do something about that, that he must grow with his Father, that he must sit with his Father and allow Him to speak to him, to listen to him, and then go and take that. It's wonderful if we worship. It's wonderful when we gather. It's great if we pray. But we're also called to action. We're called to respond. We're called to take Him. And so tonight, I want to pray for us, and we'll have a moment in a minute after as we sing. We're going to pray, and we're going to encourage you to come forward for prayer. But tonight, with whatever desire you carry, with wherever you are, wherever you find yourself, and for some of us, this will be really easy, and for others of us, this will be really tough, because some of us are maybe in a really good place where we feel so close to the Father, where we feel that we can speak with Him and we meet with Him and we come out of here or we come out of church or we come from meeting with brothers and sisters and we feel so encouraged and we feel so affirmed that we want to go and we want to go deeper. But for others of us, it took all the faith that we could have to come here tonight. Or maybe you were invited here by someone and you're wondering, what's going on? I don't know how to how to do this or how to go. But I want to say, as David discovered and as he spoke and as he sought to speak into the lives of the children of Israel, and as we've had these words for thousands of years, that whatever the desire is on your heart tonight, I want to encourage you that this would become your prayer. That tonight as you leave this place, that you will be in that place of relationship where you can go to your Father and you can ask of Him. That you can seek from Him, that you might dwell, that you would know His presence, that you would know His grace, that you would know His Spirit, that you would know the love of Christ deep within you. All the days of your life, not just tonight, not just tomorrow, not just to the end of this week, but all the days of your life, that He and being close would be your desire. That you would have the desire to gaze upon Him and to see all that He has done, all that He has given. The promise that was spoken in Isaiah 43, that even if you were the only one on this earth, He would trade it all simply to have you. This big, this majestic, this grand, yet intimately personal, sacrificial God, that you might gaze on His beauty, you might seek Him in His temple, that you might grow, that you, when you come back to this place next week, might be different, might be nearer, might be closer, might be seeking, might be in that rhythm where you're in His presence, where you're surrounded and you're longing for more and more of Him. Let's pray together for a moment. Father, we know that to desire You and only You can seem unattainable, can seem almost impossible. And as we come and as we do that, we recognize our earthly limits. We recognize that we are people of fault. We recognize that we have desires that run contrary to Your will. We have longings that aren't what Your heart is for us. We're sorry tonight, Father, that a lot of the time we've maybe made desires of our heart, things that are good, that we have turned those into idols, that we have allowed them to cloud us coming near to You, that we have allowed those things to cloud our seeking, to cloud our dwelling, to cloud our gazing, and to cloud how we would grow. And so, Father, we pray that tonight, and as we begin to worship and as we finish, that You would lift those things from us, that You would lift those burdens, You would lift those weights as we fix our eyes upon Jesus. And we pray for Your hope to sweep through us. We pray for Your Spirit to fill us, that we would go from this place tonight and we would seek You, that we would dwell, that we would gaze, and that we would long to be people who cry with Paul that nothing is as wonderful as knowing Jesus Christ as Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.